Lesson 2. The Theology of Conversion. Introduction. The term conversion refers to the change that happens when a person is saved. The goal of evangelism is to lead an unbeliever to the experience of conversion. Before continuing the lesson, read 1 Thessalonians 1. What are details of the change that happened to the Thessalonians when they were converted? To understand why a person needs to be converted, and to understand what happens when a person is converted, we must understand the condition of the sinner before conversion. The human condition before conversion. Because of the sin of Adam, every person is separated from God when he is born, Romans 5:12. That means that each person is self-centered and goes his own way. Four characteristics of unconverted sinners. As soon as a person begins to make choices, he begins committing sin. Every person is guilty of many acts of sin, Romans 3:23. Sin is a violation of God's law, 1 John 3:4, James 2:10-11. Because God is absolutely just, he does not excuse sin, and every person will be judged for what he has done, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Revelation 20:12-13. There is no question about any person's guilt or the judgment he deserves. Every sinner is already condemned, John 3:18-19. The unconverted sinner is the enemy of God, Romans 5:10. A sinner cannot come into relationship with God unless his offenses against God can be removed. The sinner before conversion is also in a condition that makes him unfit for a relationship with God because he is corrupt in his desires, Ephesians 2:3. Because he is a slave to sin, the sinner is powerless to change his condition. Romans 5:20, Romans 7:23. So what is the salvation the unconverted sinner needs? Because the sinner is guilty, salvation means forgiveness. Because he is the enemy of God, salvation means reconciliation. Because he is corrupt, salvation means cleansing. Because he is powerless, salvation means deliverance. These are only a few of the aspects of the salvation that every person needs. At the moment of conversion, the sinner is forgiven, reconciled to God, cleansed, and delivered from the power of sin. Paul described the previous sinful condition of the Corinthian believers, which included many terrible sins. Then he said, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified." 1 Corinthians 6:11. The necessity of the cross. No person could pay for his own sin. Sin is against an infinite God, and humanity has nothing of infinite value to pay. There was nothing that a person could do about his need. Therefore, no requirement could be set for humanity that would accomplish salvation, Galatians 3:21. If it had been possible for man to accomplish his own salvation, it would not have been necessary for Jesus to die on the cross, Galatians 2:21. Because God is holy, he must judge according to truth and justice, Romans 2:5-6. Imagine if the sacrifice of Christ had not happened. What if God simply forgave sins without the atonement? If God forgave sin without the atonement, it would seem that sin is unimportant. God is unjust and even unholy. In God's eyes, there is little difference between a person doing right and a person doing wrong. If forgiveness were possible without atonement, God could not be worshipped as the just and holy God that he is. Forgiveness without atonement would ultimately dishonor God instead of honoring him. But God is loving and wants to forgive. He did not want to leave all humanity in a sinful condition to be eternally lost, even though it was what they deserved. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross provided the sacrifice of infinite value that was needed. Jesus qualified one by being sinless, 2 Corinthians 5:21, perfect and not needing salvation himself, and two, by being both God and man. The atonement provides what is needed as a basis for forgiveness. Now God can forgive the person who repents and believes his promise. Nobody who understands the sacrifice on the cross can think that sin is not serious to God. The atonement makes it possible for God to still be just while counting as righteous the sinner who believes his promise. Romans 3:20-26 gives a logical explanation of how the atonement works. The Bible tells us that the means of salvation God provided is absolutely the only way. If a person rejects salvation by grace through faith in Christ, he cannot be saved. Mark 16:15-16, Acts 4:12, Hebrews 2:3. This is why it is important to know the doctrine of salvation by grace alone, received by faith alone. Salvation is by grace alone, because there is nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it. It is by faith alone, because there is nothing we can do to accomplish it. We can only believe God's promise. The first grace. God's grace reaches into the heart of the unbeliever, convicting him of his sins and causing him to desire forgiveness. Titus 2:11, John 1:9, Romans 1:20. The sinner would be powerless to leave his sins without God's help. It is God who gives an unbeliever the ability to respond to the gospel. John 6:44. If a person is not saved, it is not because he had no grace. It's because he would not respond to the grace that God gave him. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, and God wants every person to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, 1 John 2:2, 1 Timothy 4:10. God's grace gives every person the ability to respond, but he does not force anyone. That is why God calls upon the unbeliever to choose to repent and believe. Mark 1:15. Defining repentance. Repentance means that a sinner sees himself as guilty and deserving punishment, and that he is willing to quit his sins. This verse in Isaiah describes repentance. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:7. Repentance does not mean that a sinner must correct his life and make himself righteous before God will forgive him. That is impossible, because a person is in bondage to sin and cannot deliver himself. But the sinner must be willing for God to deliver him from his sins. Faith is the only requirement for forgiveness, but genuine faith in Christ will always cause a person to repent of their sins. Turning to Christ, believing, and turning away from sin, repentance, will happen at the same time, but it is faith that makes turning away from sin possible. This saving faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8-9. If a person is unwilling to repent, he does not want to be saved from sin. If a person does not repent, he is not admitting the evil of sin. If he doesn't see why he should quit sinning, then he doesn't see that his sin is truly evil. If he doesn't see that his sin is evil, he doesn't really understand why he needs forgiveness. If a person has not seen himself as truly guilty, without excuse, and deserving punishment, he has not repented. If he admits that he is a sinner, but wants a religion that will allow him to continue sinning, he has not repented because he wants to keep doing what made him guilty. Defining saving faith. If a person has saving faith, what does that mean that he believes? 1. He sees that he can do nothing to justify himself. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. He realizes that nothing he can do will make him deserve to be saved, even partially. 2. He believes that the sacrifice of Christ is sufficient for his forgiveness. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. Propitiation means the sacrifice that makes our forgiveness possible. 3. He believes that God forgives him on the condition of faith alone. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If he thinks there are other conditions, he expects to be saved partly by works instead of completely by grace. Conversion. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant, and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Acts 26:16-18. What do these verses say would be Paul's ministry? Paul's ministry would be to lead people to conversion. Verse 18 describes conversion. It includes turning from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, receiving forgiveness, and receiving the inheritance of those that are sanctified. It happens by faith in Christ. The conversion from unbeliever to believer is a great transformation. The Bible calls it a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are finished, and everything is new. The converted person leaves idols and any religious practice that would be in conflict with complete loyalty to God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. The change is usually astonishing to others. 1 Peter 4:3-4. They don't understand why a person would change so much. The person's closest friends and relatives may persecute him. Matthew 10:34-36. The converted person no longer shares the desires and priorities of the world. This contrast is one of the evidences that he is converted. 1 John 2:15. The converted person loves other believers and desires fellowship with them. 1 John 3:14. The person's desires change when he is converted. He will still have temptations, but he is able to resist temptation to sin because he is no longer controlled by sinful desires. He has desire for the Word of God because he has experienced the grace of God. 1 Peter 2:2-3. The converted person loves God and wants to please him. He will not consider God's commandments to be hard and unpleasant. 1 John 5:2-4. The converted person maintains a personal relationship with God, expressed especially in prayer. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Characteristics of the new birth. The Bible says that when a person is born again, all things are made new. The new things include the following: a new nature, the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. A new master, Christ through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 23:10, Romans 8:14. A new appetite for the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2. A new attitude of love. Romans 5:5, 1 John 4:7-8. A new relationship with God as son or daughter. John 1:12. A new helper in the Holy Spirit. John 14:16. Romans 8:26-27. A new advocate in Jesus Christ if we fall into sin. 1 John 2:1. A new and living hope of everlasting life. John 3:15. 1 Peter 1:3. Personal assurance of salvation. A person might think that he is a believer because he was baptized. He is a church member. He believes certain Christian doctrines. He follows certain religious customs. He follows a standard of right actions. He has had spiritual experiences. He has made a decision and profession of faith. According to the Bible, none of these is enough to assure a person that he is a believer. The Bible tells us that we can know for sure that we are born again. We can have confidence that God has accepted us. We don't have to live in fear because God's Spirit assures us that we are adopted children of God. Romans 8, 15-16. This assurance is so complete that we do not have to fear the judgment day. 1 John 4:17. Some people say they hope they will be accepted into heaven, but we can have a better assurance than that. It is not enough to believe that salvation is offered to humanity in general. A person must know that he himself has been forgiven. How can a person know for sure that he is justified? Some people depend on their feelings, but feelings are changeable and can be misleading. A changed life gives evidence that a person has been converted, but that evidence does not exist at the first moment. Results of salvation have not had time to appear. Therefore, a changed life is not the basis of assurance. The believer can be sure of his salvation by knowing that he has followed the scriptural way to salvation. If one has truly repented and believed as the Bible directs, he has the right to believe that God forgives him. When one repents and believes, God gives the witness of his Spirit that he has become the child of God. If a person tries to feel that he is born of God when he has not really repented, he will become confused and might deceive himself. If a person first truly repents, secondly trusts God's promise in Scripture, and thirdly receives the witness of the Spirit, he will not be deceived. This assurance is based on God's word, which is absolutely reliable. God always keeps his promises. 10 words for aspects of salvation. Reconciliation. This word means that ones who have been enemies have made peace again. In salvation, we make peace with God. 2 Corinthians 5:19, Romans 5:1. Expiation. This word means that a record has been cleared. In salvation, our record of sins is erased. Hebrews 8:12. Propitiation. This word refers to something that was given to turn away someone's anger. In salvation, Jesus' sacrifice turns away the anger of God that was against us. 1 John 2:2. Deliverance. This word means that someone is rescued from another's power. In salvation, we are taken out from under the power of Satan and sin. Luke 1:74, Romans 6:6, 12-18. Redemption. This word means that a price was paid so that someone can be free. In salvation, Jesus' death is the price so that we are free from the bondage and penalty of sin. Ephesians 1:7, Titus 2:14. Justification. This word means that someone is declared righteous or innocent. In salvation, a guilty sinner is counted righteous because Jesus suffered in his place. 2 Corinthians 5:19, Romans 5:1. Sanctification. This word means someone is made holy. In salvation, a sinner is changed into a holy child of God. Many of the epistles refer to the believers as holy ones. Ephesians 1:1, Colossians 1:1, Philippians 1:1. Adoption. This word means someone becomes the legal child of another. In salvation, we become the children of God. John 1:12, Romans 8:15. Regeneration. New birth. This word means someone starts life again. In salvation, the believer begins a new life. Ephesians 2, 1, John 7, 38-39, Galatians 4, 29, John 3, 5. Sealing. This word means something is marked to show who owns it. In salvation, the Holy Spirit in us identifies us as someone that belongs to God. Ephesians 1, 13. Error to avoid, religion without repentance. There's a type of person who easily thinks that he is saved when he hears that salvation is by grace through faith. He hasn't truly repented because he didn't see that he needed to. He never saw himself as a sinner deserving God's judgment. He thinks that grace means that he can go his own way. Because he accepts the truth of Christianity, he thinks he is a believer, though he has had no transformation. He never surrendered his own self-will. Instead, he accepted God as a part of his life and still lives mostly according to his own will. This is not the beginning of a saving relationship with God, according to the scriptural description.